Welcome to Inside Lifeway, the official news podcast of Lifeway Christian Resources. I'm your host, Brooklyn Knoll. In 1979, Lifeway held its first Fall Festival of Marriage event at Ridgecrest Conference Center outside Asheville, North Carolina. 490 people attended that inaugural event. 30 years have passed since that first event. Lifeway is still holding festivals of marriage, and couples are still coming to those events, which now occur each year at several locations throughout the country. But what is the draw of marriage enrichment conferences? Why have they grown in popularity during the past 30 years, even as so much negative press about marriage has emerged? Mark Satterfield is here today to talk about some of the top reasons he believes marriage enrichment is so important and valued. Mark coordinates the Festival of Marriage conferences for Lifeway and has firsthand knowledge of and experiences with the couples who fill the registration sheets at these events. He is also a husband and, as of about 5 months ago, a father. So he has some personal investment in this topic as well. Mark, thanks for coming in today.
Thanks for having me.
Let's back it up 30 years and start with kind of what Lifeway was thinking when they got into the marriage enrichment business several years ago.
Yeah, well, I talked to a few of the veterans that are here that were here during that time.
Sure.
It's fascinating to find out that actually there was a family ministry department. And through that, the idea was to produce an enrichment event weekend where the masses would come in. Because typically, during that time period, late 70s, early 80s, really the only groups that were doing marriage enrichment was ACME, which is the Association for Couples and Marriage Enrichment, and then the Catholic Church with Marriage Encounters. They were really the only ones on the scene that were providing marriage enrichment, and it was on a much smaller scale. You'd have few couples, like 5, 6, 10 couples participating. So the idea was, could we create something where the masses would come and participate in a true weekend getaway?
Okay. What does enrichment mean in this context?
In this context, it's just where you can, you know, work on your marriage, improvement. You know, what are some things that we know that we can, for one, we can have fun and kind of get away from the busyness of life and just make some improvements, fine-tuning. Maybe there's some things there that couples can work on. And then we just have couples that just love to come, and it's kind of like their deal for the year. It's their weekend. It's their getaway.
Away from the kids and the work and all the
dishes,
day-to-day.
Kids, just the stresses of life. Take 3 days and enjoy yourselves.
Okay. So beyond just the escape, let's launch into some of these reasons you think enrichment in marriage is so important. Let's start with your least important and work our way up.
I've got a little list here, but they're not in any order or ranking, so I'll just kind of throw one out there. I think right now with just the busyness of life, the things that we as couples and families have access to, that we one of the things that we find ourselves doing is drifting. And drift is probably a word that's not thrown out that much, but it's just something that naturally happens. You know, if you imagine yourself at the beach and you're out in the ocean, you're having a great time, then all of a sudden you look up and you're like, where's our stuff? Somebody stole our stuff, you know.
Right.
Well, nobody stole your stuff. It's just kind of moved down the beach some. So you got to get out and regroup, get on solid ground, and head back. So I think that's where we are as couples, is we drift in our marriage if there's not a focus. And a part of that is we learn by trial and error, and we kind of hope for the best instead of a better approach of, okay, what does the Bible say about this, or what is some practical preventative information that we can use to help better ourselves? So that's definitely one out there I think that's maybe not couples aren't aware of as much, but there's drifting taking place, and then you don't realize it until something's happened.
I think it's Gary Chapman, you know, Five Love Languages fame, that he talks about no marriage stays the same. They're either getting better or they're getting worse, and that's the drift you're talking about. You drift apart, you drift away from pursuing better marriages, I suppose.
That's a great point. And I actually had that one written down, that marriages, they get better, they get worse, they never stay the same. And I think about that just in the context of our jobs. You know, like we get training for our jobs, you know, like just think about how many times we've needed training for maybe for whatever reason here at work. Mm-hmm. And if we didn't have that training, then we're in a tough position to be able to perform. Well, it's the same thing with our marriage mm-hmm. as well. You got to be able to take some time and energy and train yourselves, because if you're, you know, if you're treating your marriage as a covenant, and that means whatever happens, the only way we're going to separate is by death, mm-hmm. then that's, you know, aside from God, your most important relationship here. Mm-hmm. If you're stuck with that person for the rest of your life, why not make it the best that it can be?
Sure.
You know?
It's just that in work, we're required to train every year a certain number of hours.
That's right. And that's a great point, too, because nobody is going to tell you that you need to work on your marriage. There may be, you know, I know there are churches out there that are pursuing this idea of marriage enrichment, marriage ministry, how can we make marriage a priority? But for the most part, mm-hmm. couples are not, you're not going to have someone knocking on your door saying, hey, what are you doing? How's your marriage going?
Right.
And what does that look like for you guys?
What do you feel like is another reason that enrichment maybe has even gotten more popular? I know there were 490 attendees at that first conference. But I think in the early 90s, you were near 10,000 people at mm-hmm. all of the events. So obviously, this is growing. Why do you think that is, or what is it that's important in drawing people to it?
It's a great question. I think early on, during Festival's heyday, which was about the early 90s, there was retreats were kind of the thing to do. Mm-hmm. Marriage enrichment back then really did mean retreat. If you said marriage enrichment, you know you're talking about a retreat. Mm-hmm. I think, especially back then, the idea of to get away and be a part of something much bigger than yourself, which festivals like at Ridgecrest during those days, we were there four weekends in a row in October, we'd have 1,000 plus there each weekend. And so the idea of being a part of something that big is very appealing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, again, just much bigger than yourself. And I think with festivals, what's been so great about that event is that couples can come, and not only can you have a great worship experience and you can learn from marriage experts, mm-hmm. have some fun with drama and some other things like that as well, but we'll have 10, 15 different workshops there for couples to be able to go to, and they just pick and choose. So the weekend's really designed as a customization for couples. They pick and choose what they want to go to. They don't have to sign up. They just show up.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we have that many offerings, they're going to be able to pick and choose what they want to go to, because they may not have a communication issue. They may have a finance issue. Or maybe they don't have any issues at all. They're just there because they want to make their marriage the best that it can be.
Mm-hmm.
And a part of that that we provide in workshops is just practical information. We strive hard for our leaders to be able to give information to couples that they can literally walk right out of the door and start practicing
mm-hmm.
What they just heard.
Like what, for instance?
Well, like for communication, for example. I taught communication at Glorietta this weekend, and just a couple of really simple tips. As far as rating your feelings,
mm-hmm.
couples, we just, you know, like when we use words, we beat around the bush, you know. We don't really get to the point, but with numbers, when you rate your feelings like 0 to 10, numbers, you get straight to the point. And
it's not so relative.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and so if you do that, and for example, I asked Christine the other day, you know, 0 to 10, do you want to go to Chili's? And she said about a 2. And so I was like, okay, well, what do you have in mind? And she's like, well, 0 to 10, how do you feel about Ted Montana's Grill? And I love a good Angus beef burger, so I was all over that. So I was like 10. And so, you know, you get straight to the point. But with words, you know, we beat around the bush.
Mm-hmm.
Another one that was real easy was, you know, we use this phrase called, are you saying? And because a lot of times, you know, like, have you ever experienced this where your husband comes home or maybe wife comes home and they just had a really bad day and they slam the door and they're like, I'm quitting my job,
mm-hmm.
you know? And so you just throw out, honey, are you saying that you're quitting your job?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, more than likely they're going to say, no, you know, I can't quit my job, but you won't believe the day that I had.
Right.
And so just some fun techniques like that. And it's a lot of fun. They're laughing, couples are in there laughing and everything. But the idea is those things are very preventive. They're preventive
mm-hmm.
work.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I don't know personally, I would love to know how many times, that kind of talk back and forth with Christine and I has actually saved us from some major conflict.
Sure.
Or then when conflict does arise, because conflict's going to arise in every marriage.
Of course.
That, you know, we handle it better because our communication is open. So it's fun, little stuff like that, but I'm telling you, it works.
Well, yes, and it certainly avoids my husband's pet peeve is, what's wrong? Nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, there's something wrong, and the idea is avoiding that, not pushing it so that it lasts for the next hour, and
you
finally
go.
Spill it.
Yeah.
You mentioned a while back in your answer that part of the Festival of Marriage experience is a worship time for couples to come together and just spend some time worshiping. And we haven't talked much about the Christianity aspect that plays into this, but I know that that's a huge part of marriage enrichment, at least from Lifeway's perspective. So if you could talk a little bit about what you think that brings into this enrichment experience, that would be great.
Yeah, that's a great question. We really try to separate workshops from the general session time. Workshops, you get the practical information. General session is really designed as an experience where worship, we have artists that come in that can lead us into the presence of the Lord, and we just want to open that up for Him to do the work. And with our speakers, like this year, for example, our whole message is around the idea of identity.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're looking at three different points of identity. Identity as, you know, your identity in Christ. And what does that look like, your relationship with Him? Your identity as a couple. Because if, you know, most of the time, if not all the time, if there is a problem with you and your spouse, whether it's small or big, usually that may mean that your relationship with the Lord may be a little off balance as
mm-hmm.
well. So what do those things look like together? And then we end with being on mission. What does that look like? You know, when you know who you are in Christ, your identity, and you know your job, your role as husband and wife, then, you know, as far as, you know, the Great Commission goes, we send that out. We, you know, we don't want to keep that. We want to be able to let that light shine
mm-hmm.
in a dark world, because we know that our neighbors, church members, church friends, whoever, we know just statistically that marriages are in really bad shape.
Right.
And so why not let that message carry out to others mm-hmm. where you would have someone say, wow, you guys look like you have it together. How does that look? What does that look like? And here you have an opportunity as a couple, for one, to say, we really don't have it all together.
Mm-hmm.
But here's what it looks like for us.
Mm-hmm.
And so then you have an opportunity to not only share about yourself, but more importantly, share about what God's doing in your life as an individual and as a couple.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm telling you, it's a powerful message, because we were at Glorietta this weekend. And Steve and Debbie Wilson, they were our keynote speakers. They really took this message to heart. And it was so powerful. On Sunday, we ended, and we had 41 people accept Christ.
Wow.
And I'm telling you, there was not a dry eye in that place. And we had six couples out of that 41 make decisions together.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think about that weekend for those couples. That was a stone in the building process for their marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll look back and say, wow, God was at work that weekend in us, and
mm-hmm.
they can move forward. I think that's so powerful when you can walk away. For one, you made a decision for Christ that's going to transform the rest of your life. It's an eternal decision. And then you're leaving there with a clean slate.
Yeah.
And whether, you know, like if you're already a believer, we had a number of couples this past weekend that are followers, they're believers, and but they just had some baggage. They had some things that they needed to let go of, and they were able to do that there and
mm-hmm.
head back home with a clean slate. It's just powerful, and it's an honor to be a part of that,
mm-hmm.
To be a part of a work. I mean, there's not very many events that have been around for 30 years.
Right.
So it's very significant, and for us, we don't take that job lightly, because we know that couples that are coming in, either they're coming in because it's a last-ditch effort to save their marriage, or they're just mm-hmm. coming in because this is what they do. They know they put marriage as a priority. Mm-hmm. They're doing great, but they want to do better. Mm-hmm. And so you have two extremes there, and then, of course, in the middle as well, that across the board you have couples at very different stages that are there at the weekend. So
yeah, that's really interesting that there are so many different types of people that come to these events, not just, you know, what you would call hardcore Christians, but the people that need to commit their lives to Christ and mm-hmm. all spectrums of health in their marriage. What do you think, what draws them? What is it that makes a couple go, we should really go? Is it different for everybody?
Yeah, I think it is different. I think for the couple that's sitting there trying to figure out how they're going to make it through the next couple of days in their marriage, they're probably doing any and everything they can to find out what's available.
Grasping, yeah.
We see that, you know, couples will do everything they can for 2 years mm-hmm. to save their marriage before they actually see a counselor. And so we've got couples there that I don't know how they find out about us. You know, we have so many of them that aren't Christians that are just trying to figure out mm-hmm. Why their marriage is falling apart. Mm-hmm. And then we have couples that are in Sunday school classes together, or maybe they've got small groups or home Bible studies that are just really closely connected, and they mm-hmm. want to go do something. And in mm-hmm. Festivals, or maybe something else falls in their lap and they want to do it. We have a number of groups that come to the conference, and it's crazy to see all the different types of people coming in for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. But we get there and they get checked in. I think for us in that general session time, like, we really want to create an experience that, whether it's a believer or non-believer, that says, wow, that God is here in this place, mm-hmm. and He is all powerful, Almighty, and especially for a non-believer to say, you know, this is right, mm-hmm. And we can only do the setup work, and then we our prayer is that we remove ourselves and let God show up and do the work, and that's what happened this weekend. There are so many things that just clicked this weekend from, you know, our speakers. That really just took this message and ran with it. And then our worship leaders just took it and really just did amazing worship. Mm-hmm. And when those things happen and God shows up, wow, you know, buckle up, because it's going to be a good ride. And that's the way it was this weekend.
Well, I was going to ask you why you're interested in marriage enrichment and working with it from kind of a behind-the-scenes perspective, but I think you probably answered that with your last answer. Kind of your last plea to couples before we wrap up, what would you want to tell them, whether they're healthy or sick in their marriage? What would you tell them about marriage enrichment and its importance and value in their lives?
Yeah. I honestly think we are at a fork in the road when it comes to marriage and family in our culture. You know, with media, we've seen so many high-profile people that have really just messed up when it comes to their marriages mm-hmm. and family. And then on the flip side, you have a movie like Fireproof that comes out that does something that only God could do. Mm-hmm. And so there's this tension that I feel and see that's happening across the country. And it's decision time. And I think when it comes to people that are out there that are trying to figure out marriage enrichment, maybe you're a leader, or maybe you feel the tug to do something for your marriage. I go back to this statistic that I read a few weeks ago that says only 3 out of 10 kids live with their biological parents these days. And so when you think about it, 70% of our kids, and probably not even that, because there's probably 3 out of those 10 kids that still live with their biological parents, probably aren't seeing a very good marriage. Right. You can't guarantee that. So just think, 70%+ of kids are being raised that have no idea what a strong, marriage looks like, much less a biblical one. Mm-hmm. And so that responsibility falls on us, mm-hmm. To be able to provide marriage enrichment, whether it's at a leadership level or in our own lives, because there's a whole generation that's coming up that has no idea what that looks like. Mm-hmm. And so for us, I think it's going to happen really, really quickly in the next few years. I think that you're going to see a big shift. And my concern is it's going to be going the direction we don't want it to go. Right. And marriage is, marriage just in one sentence, I would say, is designed to be lived for the glory of God. And if we can communicate that message to couples and say, you know what, your relationship with the Lord, as good as that is, that's as only good as it's going to be with you and your spouse. And so what do these things look like? And sit mm-hmm. down, let's take the masks off and sit down, have an authentic, real discussion and plan for a marriage that hopefully one day, if we're old enough and we're sitting there in the reclining chair looking at our spouse saying, you know what, I wouldn't trade anything for what our marriage has been like. So I think that's why Christine and I are so passionate about it, mm-hmm. Is for one, is that we see couples that have settled for less. Mm-hmm. And the idea is that don't settle for less, that marriage can be so beautiful, mm-hmm. and God's given it to us, and let's make it all that we can for His glory. So.
Well, I don't think you can answer the question any better than that. So, Mark, I've appreciated having you here today, and best of luck with your 5-month-old little boy, who will grow up entirely too quickly, no doubt. So, thank you for coming in, and good luck with the rest of the Festivals of Marriage this year.
Well, thank you. So, 0 to 10, how was this podcast?
This podcast ranks right up there. I'm going to go ahead and give it a 9 because I said too many times.
Oh, okay, well, that's great. Good. Thanks,
thanks
for having
Mark.
Me.
Inside Lifeway is a production of Lifeway's Corporate Communications Department. For the latest Lifeway news, to subscribe to our e-newsletter, or for media contact information, visit the online newsroom at www.lifeway.com/news.